Good morning, everybody, and morning to everybody that's online. I'm quite an emotional person, so it's going to be very difficult. But first of all, I just want to thank all the people that have actually prayed for me. I'd like to thank people who came to visit me. I'd like to thank Brian, who came to visit me quite often and prayed for me in hospital. I'd like to thank my cousin. I'd also like to thank the prayer group that's said a lot of prayers for me. I'd like to also thank Mike Johnson for all his messages and still messaging me today, and Peter Benson for coming. And I'd also like to thank Eric and Jean for also coming to see me. As a matter of fact, a lot of people came, and you know, like being in hospital, it can get quite boring. But believe me, I wasn't bored. I had somebody there every minute. I'd also like to thank my daughter. We flew all the way from Saudi Arabia to be with Jeanette and I at this time. Anyway, I'm going to get onto this subject about me. But before I do, can we just say a prayer, please? Father God, I just want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share that you are powerful, God, and that you do exist and that you do walk with us today. Because without you, I don't think I'd be at all. I just thank you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is all started in around about October or November when I volunteered to come and help Brian with the national changes in Mawini. And anyway, we had to go there, we went to Mawini, they were building up some type of awnings and stuff, and I said, okay, I'm quite handy, I can do these things. So I went there, and I was okay. I mean, there was nothing wrong with me, I was fine. I took a tape measure, and as I went down to like measure what I was going to do, and I got this dizzy spell, like very, very dizzy. And I thought, oh, what is wrong with me? Anyway, that was the first pole. Measured that, the second pole I got there, measured the second pole to put out in the ground. Same thing, but this time it was worse. I found a drum, and I just sat on this drum. I said, what is going on? Something's wrong. Anyway, I went to Brian, and I said to Brian, sorry, listen, there's something wrong. If somebody can just excuse me, I need to go home. He said, are you able to drive or what? And I said, no, I'm sure I'm fine. Anyway, I got home, and I was finished. I went to bed. I was done. And then then we went to see, I think, I'm not sure if we went to see a doctor, but Jeanette said, told me, look, you probably got vertigo. I said, okay, vertigo, well, it is what I can. Oh, I can't argue against the nursing sister, and that's what it was. So anyway, this ran on for a few days now, this vertigo. And eventually it disappeared, you see. The whole vertigo disappeared. Anyway, even during work, I used to come home from work, from an instrument to bed, I was done with this vertigo. But anyway, that disappeared. Then a few days later, we decided, you know, I was still running, so I went for a run. Then I got this kind of burning pain in my chest. And I said to Jeanette, yes, it's a burning chest. I said maybe I pulled a muscle in it. But anyway, it went. We carried on running. We finished the run. And everything was fine after that. Then another day I went for another run. This time it really got bad. So I went for a run, struck. And I said, no, I can't. I better walk. So I walked back to my car, got in. And actually it was raining by myself that day. Got back home and I said, hey, this burning pain happened again or whatever. And she says, well, maybe something, I don't know, just leave it for a while and see how it goes. I said, okay, we'll just leave it for a while. But lucky enough, prior that we had an appointment with the doctor to get my chronic medicine. So anyway, he had to renew my script. And I went there and I mentioned to him, this is what happened. So he said, no, hang on, we better just check you out. So anyway, he did an EEG, did the whole thing. And he found there was something going on inside. And he says, best you make an appointment with a cardiologist. And I said, okay, well, that was now late November, whatever, coming December. I said, okay, we'll make it for the new year, no problem. So anyway, it was about mid-December, somewhere along there. And I was having tea in bed. And Jeanette brought me a nice hot cup of tea, and I was drinking it. I said, yo, this tea you've made, it's actually burning my chest. And she said, what do you mean? I said, no, it's really burning me inside. She looked and said, no, that can't be. I said, I'm telling you. So anyway, again, the pain went. I thought, okay, that's it. So anyway, we were talking, and I started reading the magazine. I like to do the puzzles and like the U magazine or something. Anyway, I was doing something, and this pain struck again. And she said, oh, no. Poof, in the car, to Bushmed Hillcrest Hospital. They booked me in. Blah, blah, blah. I did all sorts of things. Zoom, straight into ICU. Now I get into ICU, then the next day the cardiologist comes, and he starts checking me. He said, no, no. Now, but now this is like the month of December, coming on Christmas. So they said they're going to do an angiogram, but it was a dye test, that kind of thing. So they did it through my vein in my arm. You can see everything. You can see the whole thing going on the TV, everything. So this whole thing was going on. I'm looking at it, and I thought, well, this is quite amazing. You can see your whole heart, your whole veins, things getting cleared out. It was amazing. And then he did that. Then he closed up. He says, unfortunately, he couldn't do the angiogram because he didn't have the proper equipment. And what about? And he said, well, you'll see me the next day. So anyway, the next day came, and he said, okay, they had a meeting with their management team, and they decided that I needed to have 3 stents put into my heart. So I said, well, okay, fine. And they said, well, we can't do it here. We're going to send you to Mslanga Heart Hospital. So, well, okay. So, well, that was that. And then Christmas Day came, and I was lucky enough there Christmas Day because I got a lift in the ambulance to Hillcrest Hospital, which I've never been in an ambulance. So anyway, there I got an ambulance, doof, and I went to Hillcrest Hospital. So they took me to Hillcrest Hospital, and then on Boxing Day, it was a doctor, Andrew Atherton. He came and saw me, and he told me this is what's going to happen. And I said, okay. And then he said, I'm going to put you, I'm going to book in for like 8 o'clock in the morning or 9. I said, okay, because he came early. So off I went into theater. And again, you could see this whole thing happening to you. But since then, he went through this arm, went through my left arm. He did the whole thing. And he said, oh, by the way, I was only going to do 2 stents, but I decided to do 3. And I was grateful for that. So I didn't want to go through this again. And I said, no, thank you very much. Then the next day, as a matter of fact, the next day he released me. He said, you can go. It was a bit, and I thought, oh, wow, that's nice. So Jeanette came all the way, picked me up, poof, off I went home. And then he said, I'll see you in 6 weeks' time. But during that 6 week time period now, something else happened. As I started putting my head down, like as I started getting like electric shocks, I mean, they were severe, like, oh, what's going on? And I said, you know, since this cardiologist has done something, he's really done something, it's now giving me electric shocks. So when I went and saw him again on his appointment, and I was telling him about it, and he says, well, he doesn't believe in coincidence, but there is nothing wrong with your heart. I don't think it must be something with your neck. And I said, no worries. I said, there was nothing wrong before you touched me. But anyway, that was the truth. But anyway, he said, okay. So he did a test on me, EEG thorough, EEG this. It made me run the treadmill, the whole lot. And he had the whole thing taken, your whole graph, your whole, and there was nothing wrong with my heart. He said, no, there's something wrong with the neck. Gave me a paper, or if you got an x-ray, get your neck tested. Truth probably, there's something wrong with my neck. And I had to have there was a nerve block in my neck. So, off to Westville now, they had a nerve block down in my neck, which they put you under this some sort of scanning machine. They put an injection down your neck, and it should be last about 6 weeks. Anyway, it was fine after that. I was fine. Then I started to pick up again, running and then started. Anyway, life was going back to normal, thank goodness. But while that was going on, life came back to normal. We decided to sell our business. So we spoke about it quite severely about it, we decided that's it. And at the end of May, we want to stop work. And which we had a lot of promises from companies and other companies which never came off. But lucky enough for us, at the end of May, we were approached by a doctor. Anyway, he bought the business, but sections of the business in which we decided we will keep the clients until he wanted the clients, but he never came back. Anyway, he bought all the stuff. But now the clients, what we're doing with the clients is we're giving the clients to people that we know that are too similar to us, and we take 10% of whatever they, so which is actually still quite nice. So, and then, but then in June, came June, my daughter and my kids decided to come to South Africa for a holiday, which was beautiful. They all came. We had the most wonderful time, and everything went well. And then they went back. Then in mid-July, my daughter was graduating. She was going to graduate in Spain, but she lives in Saudi Arabia. She graduated for her honors and teaching in Madrid. So we decided we'll fly to Madrid and go to this presentation. So we went, we flew to Madrid, and then from the presentation, she did well. As a matter of fact, I think she came tops. She got tops of the class. Then from Madrid, we took a fast train. The train travels about 300 kilometers an hour, and we went to Barcelona. Phew, we were in Barcelona, and it was fast. And then we walked, we hiked, we did stuff in Barcelona that you wouldn't believe. I mean, we walked wherever we went, and we did a lot of stuff. And then from Barcelona, we took another train to Valencia. So they went to Valencia, and they got the most beautiful beach. I mean, you've never seen such volleyball. Volleyball they play there, like, unbelievable. There must have been 30, 40 courts, on the beach. And it was amazing. But anyway, so we played in the sea. We had the kids. We were trying to teach them to body surf. There was nothing wrong with me at all in the whole of Spain. So after all that happened, we decided we're going to get to the Channel Islands of Jersey, and then my daughter needed to go back to work in Saudi Arabia, so off we went. So now we get to Jersey. Now we got 2 weeks in Jersey. The first week was absolutely perfect. We went all over the place. We went to there's a place that even called Devil's Hole, believe it or not, and it's a beautiful spot. You go in there, and then you sort of go down. But anyway, in that period of time, I started having a lot of trouble. And I said, something's gone wrong. And she said, no, you probably got anxiety. Don't worry about it and whatever. Then the next minute, we were coming home the one day, and we were walking up this hill, and I struck. And I said, we got home. And I tell you, I've never felt so much pain in my life. I said, you know what? I said, you better get me to the hospital. I said, I'm not going to make it out of here. And she said, you've got nothing to worry. God is with you, number one. And number two, you saw two cardiologists and you've both been cleared. So I thought, there's nothing I can argue with that. So anyway, the next day again, we went on another tour, which was just now silly us. So off we went. We went and then we ended up in St. Auburn. We took a bus to St. Auburn and we went for a long walk there. And on the way back, lucky enough, there was like benches all along this road. Now we'd stop and I'd sit on the bench. Oh, I'm in trouble. And at that time, I didn't actually know, but I was actually having heart attacks all this time. And I didn't know. And when we got home, I actually said to Nita again, we had Raymond's house. I said, if you don't get me to the hospital, I'm not going home. I said, I can see it. I said, you don't know what's going on in my chest. I said, I know what's going on with me. And she said, again, you will get home. God is with you. Believe me, you will get home. And I thought, I'm not getting home. That was my thought. I said, I'm not getting home at all. Anyway, the day came when it came time for us to go home. So we got to the airport, and we asked for special assistance, which was lucky enough because when I got to the airport, there was a little boy there. We were like first in line. And I said, he says, well, why do you need special assistance? I said, well, there's something wrong with my heart. Lucky didn't question it. So anyway, the time came, off we went. And he gave me special assistance. So when we flew, what's that airport? The big one? When we got to Doha, there was a guy. Put me in a wheelchair. Put me in the lift, down, missed all the stuff, and then he took me to the bus, on the bus, and it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to get to the airplane, and Doha was big. And then from there, flew me to South Africa. He went all the way with me, this guy. It was amazing. And anyway, got home, and when we were at home now, the Thursday night we arrived, I felt a bit of pain in my chest, but it didn't worry me, because everybody was tired, and everybody went to sleep. Then on Friday, I was perfect. Saturday I was perfect. Sunday I came to church. I was perfect. Nothing wrong with me. I thought, okay, it's all gone. Then he said, well, maybe you just had like a little thing and it blew out. I said, well, maybe you did a little thing and it blew out. So that was what happened. So then I said to her on Sunday afternoon, you know what? There's only way to prove it, because he lived like down there. I said, is to walk up this hill. So I started to walk up the hill, and believe me, that pain struck like you never believe. Straight back into hospital, doof, and there I was. Then when I got to the hospital again, the cardiologist saw me. He said, no, you can't do this. You're going to go see a surgeon. The surgeon came. Then the surgeon came and saw me. He said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we have to have open heart surgery. And he said, by the way, I don't know how you got here, because you actually had a heart attack somewhere along the line. And he said, you're lucky to be here. And I just thought, oh my goodness. But anyway, that surgeon and everything he did, he was a beautiful, beautiful surgeon. And when I'd met him, he said to me, I'm just telling you this. I work for God. These are God's hands. I felt so, like, amazed. But I just want to let you all know that God is with us every single day. He walks with you right here. He's here with me right now. Because if he wasn't, there's no way I'd be here. Blessed. God bless you all.
Andy, thanks for sharing with us. Thank you. And there's no ways to not be emotional when you've been through what you've been through. But also no ways to not say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Last week we heard an incredible testimony about God's healing. This week, again, God's healing. And so I just want to say, God still heals. Doesn't matter what some people think. God is still in the business of healing. He's still in the business of making broken bodies whole again. We think that sometimes it's not happening, but it's happening more than we can even imagine. In Exodus 15, verse 26, we read, I am the Lord who heals. I am the Lord who heals. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Psalm 41. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. Psalm 147. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God is still healing people today. I really believe that the fact that we don't see more healings is that we don't pray for healing more. Somebody said, the more I pray for healing, the more healings I see. And I think that's sometimes the trap that we fall into. We don't pray for healing. We don't lay hands on. We don't anoint with oil. We don't say, Lord, heal. We live in a Western culture where medicine is our first port of call. And please don't quote me on this and say, look, I'm not taking my medication because Brian said that's... But if you think about it, we often don't go straight to the prayer group first. We first start with what is happening, what medication can I take, instead of just saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And if we don't get anything right, maybe just starting with medicine and God is a good start if you're not just going to throw medicine out the window. But there's a place where back in the day, people went to God first to heal. So often in the Old Testament, we hear about healing taking place. And then when Christ is here, I mean, it's like the whole of those Gospels are just full of moments when Jesus moves in a powerful way, healing people, driving out demons, sick people healed, dead people raised. It happens all the time. And then in the book of Acts, yeah, Peter and John are healing that man who's lame. Remember he said, hey, give me something. And they say, look, silver and gold we don't have. They heal him. Paul heals Ananias. Peter heals a man who is paralyzed. Tabitha is raised from the dead in the book of Acts. In the book of Corinthians, we read about spiritual gifts. And two of the gifts that are mentioned are healing and miracles. It's a letter to the church saying, hey, don't neglect gifts. And two of the gifts that are important are healing and miracles. And then in the book of James, we're encouraged to pray for the sick. James 5, verse 13 to 16 says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that they may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If we say that we're people who believe the word of God, we need to believe this as well. It's one of the things we need to believe. Here, James is encouraging his readers to take many different things to God in prayer. Trouble, happiness, sickness. And as we take these to the Lord, sick are made well. They will be raised up. Sins will be forgiven. We need to believe that God is still working in a powerful way. One of the reasons I believe that God still heals is because I've prayed for people who have been healed. I always love to tell the story of a young person in my church in Kempton Park. We said, who wants to have prayer for healing? And people came to the front, and I prayed for this young person, and they were suffering with a sore back. And so I prayed for the sore back. But I was foolish in my prayer because I said, heal her, Lord. And you might not think that's foolish, but I didn't know that the week before she'd been to the dentist. And he'd taken an x-ray and said, come back next week because you need a cavity to be filled. And so I said, Lord, heal her. Well, the next week she went back to the dentist, and the dentist was confused. A little bit like the x-ray we heard about last week, because the dentist was like, you know that Mr. Bean where he's like looking at the x-ray up, down, left, right, the dentist was trying to find the cavity. It was gone. So when I prayed, Lord, heal her, her back was healed, but he healed that cavity as well. Ever thought of going for prayer at the church because you've got a dental appointment? Maybe we need to change our approach. For centuries, the church has prayed for healing for the sick. The church has always cared for sick people and people who are in need, and we've always believed in the supernatural gift of healing. The church was a healing church, and the church is a healing church today. We have to remember God is the one who does the healing. I'm the Lord who heals. It's not the people who pray that do the healing. It's God working through them. And God works through some people more than others. But don't ever neglect praying for somebody. When somebody says, hey, pray for me, I've got a sore back, I've got a sore knee, pray for them. You never know what God's going to do through you. And there's four things I want to just quickly touch on about healing. The first thing is our bodies heal themselves. Now, we don't always look at this when we think about healing, but God has put us together in such a way that our bodies fix themselves. That is a God-given gift, a blessing from God. So if somebody's praying for you and you're like, well, it took me 5 days to get well, now God fixed you. Because he made you that way, that your body can fix itself. Then the other thing that's important is God raises up doctors. Like the moment where you shared about the doctor, I was like, yes. God puts people in a place that they can be used to use the gift of healing on other people. So don't think that this sits outside of God's realm, doctors and nurses. They're sitting right in the sweet spot of God wants, where God wants them. And then we do have God's supernatural healing. This does happen. If you are battling, ask somebody to pray. And then the fourth thing is God's ultimate healing. God's ultimate goal for us is to be with him in heaven one day. That's the ultimate healing that God has for us. In heaven, there will be no tears, no pain, no sickness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. We do groan. It's a good scripture. Longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God heals. I am the Lord who heals. Let's spend a moment praying, and let's pray that God would heal us. I'm going to ask if you would all stand as we pray. Let's stand in the presence of the Almighty God, and If you're the one who's needing healing this morning, speak to God. In your heart, say, Lord, heal me. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one who heals us. Still today, you're the one that does supernatural healing. Thank you, Lord, that for more than 1 week, we've heard about the great things that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you do heal. Thank you, Lord, that we are in the hands of Almighty God. You cover us with your wings. You are the strong tower. You are love. You are holy. You are the God who we can trust. And right now, Lord, you know the healing that we need to take place in our bodies, in our lives. For some people, the healing is the forgiveness of sins, and so lay that at the foot of the cross. For some people this morning, there is a physical ailment that you need to be healed of. Speak to God about it now. Almighty God, we lay the burdens of broken bodies before you now. Lord, these are the things that we need you to heal us of, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and work in your power now, we pray. Heal us, Lord. We worship you. You're strong and you're mighty. We trust you. Thank you, Lord. Bless us now, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.